Blog Talk Radio.
Let your glory fill this place. Let your all-consuming fire fill this tabernacle and purify our hearts. Surround us in this place. Want you to breathe new life within us. Send a refreshing love. Purify our hearts. Let your glory fill.
Let your glory fill this place.
Let your all consuming fire. Yeah. Yeah.
Purify our hearts.
Surround us.
Praise the Lord, everybody. smiling. Truly, it is a wonderful blessing to be in the land of the living. Amen, amen. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. I don't know about you, but this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. How many are happy to be yet in the land of the living? Hallelujah. Some people didn't make it over. Some folks we lost. Some loved ones we lost. Some friends and family members we lost this year. But this is December the 31st, 2012. This is the last day in this year. This is a day that we'll never see again. So for that reason alone, we just want to give God some praise on today. We thank you for tuning in and listening to A Time of Reflection with New Destiny Ministries. I tell you, the Lord has done some wonderful and some miraculous things in our lives. I don't know about you, but I had an experience where I thought I would be out of here after my car hydroplane. But God allowed me to live beyond that experience. So I owe it to him to give him my all. Not some of me, but all of me. Amen. So we just want to read into your hearing on today. Our scripture reference and our destiny focus for this week is Jesus enough? And we're going on into the new year asking that question. Is Jesus enough? Some of us don't even think that Jesus is sufficient. Hallelujah. We don't think that we can, that he can provide for us beyond our circumstance, beyond where we even are on today. But I serve you notice on today that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But we have to know that he's enough. And our reference scripture this week is Matthew 6:33, and it reads, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, you have to go back up into the text. Go back up and read this entire text, and you'll see why Jesus was admonishing the people to seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. And once you see God, everything else is going to be added unto you, because this is God's word. And God's word does not lie. It cannot lie. Amen? Amen. So we're going to open up with the word of prayer, and we have two speakers for you on today. We're going to close out this year with a bang. And when I say bang, I mean believe and never give up. So, Lord God, on this, in the name of Jesus, we come before you once again, giving you praise for everything that you've done. We're thanking you, Lord God, for everything that you're going to do. Lord God, we're asking you to continue to lift up the hung down heads. Continue to remember the parents in Newtown, Connecticut, that lost the lives of their kids on about 2 weeks ago, God. And even the firefighters that were killed in the fire, Lord God. We're asking you to remember that family. Remember our president as a in the nation as a whole, Lord God. Remember our family members. Lord God, remember all those that have came on Blog Talk Radio with New Destiny Ministries this past year, Lord God. Every speaker, every bishop, every apostle, every prophet, every prophetess, the ministers, the evangelists, the sisters and brothers in Christ that have tuned in to join us on this broadcast and this past year, Lord God, we're thanking you for them. We're asking you to continue to let your blood cover them in every area of their life, Lord God. And we're asking you to bless our speakers on today as they come forth and expound on the word of God. We're talking about, is Jesus enough? Lord God, we know you are enough. All we have to do is adhere to your plan, adhere to your divine will for our life, and you will make every crooked path straight. Lord God, we're asking you to look down on our mothers and our children, Lord God, and our grandchildren in this year. Lord God, I'm asking you to remember my sister Danielle, God. Let this year be a prosperous year. Let this be a year of release for her, God. And I'm even asking you to remember my son Jamar, Lord God, and all those that are in prison each and every person all over the United States, God, and even in other countries, Lord God. You know their hearts, Lord God. We're asking you to lift them up. Remember those that are sick and afflicted. Remember Mother Braxton on today, God. Continue to touch our body, Lord God, and touch our mind, God, and keep us safe, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord God, for all those that will be tuning in at a later time, those that are on the internet listening live to this broadcast, God. We asking you to continue to bless them, Lord God. Continue to lead them in the path of righteousness for your name's sake, God. We ask these blessings in the mighty name of Jesus, and we thank you and we give you praise and we give you glory for all that you're doing and all that you're going to do in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So with no further ado, we're going to get right on in to our topic on today with our speakers that will be coming before us. We have first coming as evangelist Priscilla Williams. We have been a friend of mine, a woman that I believe loved the Lord and loved the people of God. And she's going to be expounding on the word for us on this afternoon. And also after her will be Minister Prophet Michael Lewis will be coming. And I sincerely appreciate Brother Mike. You know, he started this broadcast with me in December of last year. December of 2011, we started on this broadcast. And Brother Mike was one of the first ones that came on and taught on this broadcast. So we thank God for him closing out this year with us. As he started with us, he'll be able to close out. So with no further ado, we're going to present to some and introduce to other our first speaker. And again, that's none other than Evangelist Priscilla Williams of Stockton, California, and her pastor is none other than Dr. Kenneth Burford of Christ Redeeming Center in the city of Stockton. So we bless the Lord for her on this evening. God bless you, Evangelist Priscilla.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I got the word and it's alive, and although it is not of me, the Holy Spirit has free course to reprove, rebuke, anoint, and appoint me higher to his operation and manifestation to bring deliverance and power in my life. I will have what God said I can have. I will be who God said I can be. I am the head and not the tail. I am an overcomer. I will walk in healing and health today, right now. I am victorious and not the victim. Praise the Lord God Almighty. Well, hey, man, I had to get that out right off of me. I was just rubbing over and I just had to get it out. Praise the Lord. Give an honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to everyone that is on this broadcast today, to our very own sister, my beautiful sister, the Lord, and my friend, Evangelist Adrian Bernard, our founder and sponsor of this beautiful, magnificent broadcast. Amen. And all the callers in the archive, chatting everywhere, give an honor to whom honor is due. Next up to my very own brother, Minister Prophetess Mike Lewis. So glad that you are with us. We'll be speaking later on. So I am going to move right along quickly. I have so many minutes, but I want to go ahead and always have something to say for the Lord, no matter how many minutes. I mean, you know, Jesus is alive. Jesus is good. He's well. God is just great and greatly to be praised. You can say that in a few minutes. Amen. Always have something good to say for the Lord. Amen. Our topic for the week and today is Jesus enough. Is Jesus enough? Praise the Lord. His kingdom reigns in and through the heart of the righteous. He is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent upon those who call upon him. Oh, praise the Lord. We should seek him and render to him all of our total spirit man. If you will, go with me quickly to the book of Deuteronomy. We're going to Deuteronomy, one of our Pentateuch books. Amen. 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. Some of you may be new with your Bible, getting accustomed with your Bible. That's in the beginning, toward the beginning of the book, right after Numbers. Amen. Deuteronomy is 28, and we're going to start around the first verse. The first verse, then we're going to go to the second verse, 11 and 12. Deuteronomy is 28, 1, 2, 11, and 12. Amen. And I am going to ask my very beloved evangelist, Adrian, Lenard, if she would, please, to assist me and accommodate me with this scripture as I go, as God leads me. Amen. And when you have it, you may proceed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Evangelist Lucilla? Okay, we're having some technical difficulties. Just a moment. I'll get Evangelist Lucilla back on. Evangelist Lucilla? Okay. We're going to keep it moving. I did read. Wait a minute, just a moment. Minister Mike?
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Did you hear me reading?
Huh?
Did you hear me reading the scripture?
Who is this, Prophet? Sister Priscilla?
This is Sister Adrian.
Yeah, I heard Sister Priscilla was teaching, and I don't
know.
Did
you hear me read the scripture?
No, I heard her talking.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I have Evangelist Priscilla line open. Can you hear me, Evangelist Priscilla? Okay. She dropped off, so we're going to wait till she returns. No, I can't do that. Let's go this way. Okay, just a moment. Having some technical difficulties. Bear with us. Okay. Okay, well, what we're going to do to expedite time, we're going to bring forward Minister Mike and Evangelist Lucilla when she can come back on a little bit later. I don't know what happened with her phone. Let me see. 1 second. Okay. Just a moment. Bear with us, people.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Okay, we dropped off. Well, let's go forth. I'll read those scriptures again, Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2, and then we're going to skip down to 10 and 11. And it reads, And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God.
Hold it right there. Okay, now did you hear what she just read? And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, and thou shalt hearken, it's going to, remember that these blessings is going to run after you, like the water spring, just like the water, the flow of water. It just flows. It comes. It's nonstop. It's going to just run after you. When you hearken, though, to the voice of the Lord, thy God. All right, read the next verse.
Okay, 10 and 11 says...
11.
And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee.
Keep going.
The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hands. Excuse me. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow.
I really want you to key in here and focus in, which we don't have that much time, the very first 14 verses of this chapter. This is why I'm kind of skipping, but it all boils to the same thing where I'm going. Verses 1 through 14 is really what I want you to focus in on as we go along. Now, these are the blessings. We're still talking about this Jesus enough. Now, what she just read, what the word is saying here, and applying it to the question, he's more than enough. So my take is to say, no, he's not enough. Jesus is way more than enough. When you're looking at it in light of this passage that we just read here, verses 1 and 2 and 11 and 12, which I would like for you on your time to continue reading this chapter here. Okay, now, we're going to go quickly to Psalms. 112 divisions of Psalms. And when you get it, 112, that's in the middle of pretty much of the Bible. Those of you who are getting familiar with your Bibles, Psalms 112. 112 division of Psalms. Then we're going to go to the first three verses. All right.
Praise ye the Lord.
When you ask, I'm ready when you're ready. The first three verses.
Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever.
Okay, is Jesus enough, or is he more than enough? Okay, my take is that, my personal take is that he's way more than enough on this question that she had for this week's topic, based on my present relationship with the Lord and what he has done for me and is still doing for me. Yes, he is more than enough. Psalm 1:1, and around the third verse.
I missed what you said.
Okay, Psalms 1:3. it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he do shall prosper. All right. Now, is Jesus still enough, or is he more than enough? When we go to the book of John, the Gospel of John, and the Lord God talks about, the Lord is speaking to the Samaritan woman in the book of John in the fourth chapter. If you get it, I want you to go right ahead and proceed, Evangelist. John 4 and 14. Okay, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That is more than enough. Jesus is more than enough. To say Jesus is enough is just like to shut off a valve or to put a stopper in a drainage, or to go onto your, or to move onto your sink area, your kitchen, and you turn your, you turn the knob on to turn the water on, and then you turn it off. We have that access in our home, where we can just turn the water on anytime we want to and turn it off. There's no turn off. When you taste and see that God is good, when you come to him and have tasted of his fullness and of his goodness, oh, this is what these, this is what you get. This is the benefit. These are the blessings that we are reading here that will run after you, that will overtake you, come upon you, overflow, overshadow you. This is more than enough. The Lord is due to all of our honor and our worship and our garments of praise to him, to proclaim the acceptable year of our Lord, to take up the cup of salvation. When you drink up the cup of salvation, there's a continuation. We just read here. It would be like a what? A water. It's like water. Spring up. It just continues to pour over. It's like a stream. It's like the Niagara Falls. The water, and that's what it is. The water is just continually to run and run. It flows and flows. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. This is my personal relationship. Can't answer to the question. Is Jesus enough? No, he's more than enough. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Praise God. Happy New Year with Jesus. More being more than enough. God bless you and everyone. The blessing of this word, and the hearers and doers of the word. God bless you. Amen. And amen.
Amen, amen. And now we're short and sweet. Even Drusilla, you could have went a little bit longer. It was good. God bless you. Jesus enough. That's the question today. Is Jesus enough? When she went into Deuteronomy, hey, God had already set forth all of the blessings. He said they were going to overtake us. Hallelujah. So I can't do anything any more than that. So we bring it on Minister Mike. Hallelujah. And he can go forth as the Lord lead him in the name of Jesus. I'm just so thankful to have two powerful speakers with us, male and female. That lets you know God can bring us all together and have us all rejoicing and singing praises to the God who is our Lord and Savior. God bless you. Minister Mike, come forward.
Praise the Lord. Truly, indeed, it's a blessing once again to come to you by way of the internet, the cell phone, or even those of you that will be going back into the archives and listen at this final broadcast of the 2012 year. Truly, this has been a year that God has tremendously blessed his people, continue to look down and conquer things that have had us plagued in times past. I want to give thanks to God for allowing me once again to close out the year as one of the speakers. I do also want to thank God for Sister Adrian, who's been a great friend, a true help, and for allowing me the opportunity to come to know her family and her sister Danielle, in whom I am an advocate for, that is currently serving 3 lives plus 20 years. I thank and praise God because, you know, we're living in a time, a day and an age where things doesn't seem as they appear no more. It looks like the church has become lackadaisical. It don't seem as if there's any power anymore. Why? Because we have began to trust into man and to buy into the system of things, as he is the one that is our deliverer, that he is the one that is leading and guiding us, and he is the one that's going to protect us. And it's due to man that we're going to eat or we live, move, and have our things. But no, it is not so. God is the Father, the Creator, the Maker, the Giver of every good and every perfect gift. As they stated in the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter and the 33rd verse says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." But a lot of Christians get in the church and we become lackadaisical, get comfortable with just being in the house of God. But he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, in all these things." But a problem that has happened is some of us have gotten into the church and gotten comfortable, and we began to get things, and the things take hold of us. But he always told us these things shall be added. Now you got folks that the things won't allow them to go to the church, the things won't allow them to praise God, the things won't allow them to lift up their hands and worship God. Why? Because they are caught up into the things. But he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added." Now, when it comes to adding, God is no stranger to mathematics. Now, what he told us in the book of Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, verses 5 and 6, he told us to trust something. He said, "Trust in me, the Lord. Trust in the Lord." How? With all thine heart. Upon trusting, he said, then don't lean to your own understanding, but in all your ways, you have to acknowledge me. But now what has happened, we get a few scriptures up under our belt. Yeah, we say a few hallelujahs and a couple of them thank you, Jesus. And now we don't need to trust in him. Why? Because we're trusting in ourselves. We trust in ourselves so much that we begin to do the unthinkable, which is found in Proverbs 30, 5 and 6. It says, every word of God is pure, and he, talking about the word, is pure. He is a shield unto who? Them that put their trust in him. And then we do the 6th verse. It says, add thou not unto his word, least he reprove you, and you be found a liar. Well, we got people adding, saying things that God have not said. And he said about them that's adding or prophesying, prophesying, he said, I have not spoken to these prophets, and yet they ran. I haven't even called them, and yet they prophesied. But had they stayed in the place where they needed to be, I would have spoken to them, and they would have caused my people Israel to hear my voice. Now, look at what is taking place over in the book of 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter. A lot of us pretty much can quote this verbatim, backwards and forwards. But there's a an element that we overlook when it comes to this mighty word of God. I want to go right up above it. I want to go to the 11th verse. That's 2 Chronicles 7. And I want to go to verse 11 because that was something that took place before we get to the 14th, where the scripture that everybody knows. It says, thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord. Here it is. Solomon had just finished erecting this immaculate temple for who? The house of God. Now look what takes place. It says, in the king's house, after he built God's house, he built him a house. And all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord, in his own house, he prosperously affected. But notice what he done. He took care of house, God's house first, and then he built his. Then he decked out God's house, and then he decked out his. But it didn't stop there. And then it says, and then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself, and house a sacrifice. This is what God is calling us today. He's calling us that house of sacrifice. But now look what's wrong with the house of sacrifice. He's like, if I, God, shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I, God, command the locusts to devour the land, or if I, God, send pestilence among my people. Now here go the one y'all love. If my people, if my people, those of you that's out there hot-tatan and shan-na-nan and speaking in all them tongues, he say, if my people, those of you that call on the name of the Lord, that use the name of the Lord, those that lay hands on the sick and they do recover, he said, if my people who which are called by my name, no, you're not called by Pastor Thomas, Pastor Jackson, Pastor Pruitt, he said, if my people called by my name. Well, what is his name? Those of you that call by the name of Jesus Christ, he say, if my people do what? Humble themselves. That's the first one on the deck. Humble yourself. He say, if my people, which are called by my name, if you humble yourself, then do what? Seek my face. Not seeking the face of your pastor, not seeking the face of the first lady, not seeking the face of the apostle, the prophet. He said, my face. He's not talking about Buddha. He's not talking about Krishna. He's not talking about Muhammad. He said, if my people call by my name, humble themselves, seek my face. God said, yeah, if you seek my face, family, guess what, y'all? You might find me. Yeah. If you say, seek my face, then he said, do something. What? Turn your ways. He said, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive your sin, and I will heal the land. It's not up to Obama to go into the house, the Senate house, where he just came out of, and try to strike up a proposal so that we don't go off a fiscal cliff. But what happened is, we stop calling on God's name. So he said, since you stop calling on me, I'm going to allow pestilence to come into the land. Oh, yeah. I'm going to allow sickness and illnesses to come into the land. Why? You stop calling on my name. You quit seeking my face, so I can't hear you. Now, he said, if you do these things, I will forgive your sin, and I will heal that land. Why? Now my eyes shall be open, my ears attent to the prayer that is made in this place, for now have I, said the Lord, I chosen this house, sanctified it, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. But what has happened, y'all, and pay close note to this, what has happened, we have substituted the name of God for another name. Yeah, I'm talking to you that have been in the church for over 40 years. Yeah, you that have been sitting down for 60. Even you that's preaching. You have lost the vision of the name. And one thing God has always been crazy about is his own name. What is it if a woman get married and her last name, verbatim, we just say this just to say it, her last name was Johnson.
and a man approached her every day, and he's calling her Jackson. Now, this goes on every time this man sees this woman. How long before you think this woman is going to correct the man, or how long do you think it's going to be before the husband gets upset and lets the man know, hold on, bruh, that is not her last name. Well, God is the same way about his. We done substituted the name of the Lord for the name of our leader on the building. No, we use Moses on the building. Oh, better yet, we put Mount Uriah on the building. Yeah, it's important what names go on the building, then, and the reason being is because when you see the arch with the M on it, everywhere in the world, you know who that is. MacDonald. That's right. And if you see the BK, you know exactly what you're supposed to get. Burger King. And if you see that little swoosh on the side of your shoe, or it might be on your T-shirt, you know what that is. That's Nike. Well, God is saying the same thing when it comes to his house. Where is my name? Yeah, I know some people don't think it's important, but if it wasn't so important, then God never would have told Solomon to build him a house. Now that we are spiritual house, what you still think apply? The name still applies. I'm tapping my forehead concerning the temple. Yeah, and he said concerning this, he say, seek and you shall find. Ask and it shall be given. Matthew, the 7th chapter. Now, let's find out what he was talking about seeking. What was he talking about asking? And what possibly could we be finding? Well, according to what he's saying, the 7th chapter in the 7th verse, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Why? For everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth. And him that knocketh, it shall be open. Why? Or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? He said, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? We're not asking God for stuff no more. Oh, no. We're begging him. He didn't say beg. He said ask. And what happened is because we didn't get it when we thought we should have had it, we went about doing it another way. And guess what that way is? Yes, 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 yes. Prostituting ourselves. No, it don't mean that you went out there and showed your legs on the corner and caught on any fella that ran by. No, that's not the only spirit of prostitution. You prostitute your gift. You got people paying to give a word. Oh, yeah, I'm bringing the house down today, baby. Yeah, you got folks paying in a line to receive a free word. Because he said, freely I gave, so freely you have received. But no, we got $200 line, $400 line, $500 line. You got a $1,000 line. God ain't never put a price tag on his word, saint. He ain't never done it. But guess what? They got balls that's making big money. Oh, am I stepping on some toes? Well, let's go to 2 Peter. What God said in 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 5 through 8. I'm jumping the gun. But look at this. God is so serious about his house because he got off. And he left some serious instructions to those that he have called. And the problem is those in whom he have called, they're not standing on what he called them to do. 1 Peter 5, verses 5 and 8. 1 Peter 1, 5 and 8. Look what it says. 1 Peter 1, 5 and 8. He says, uh-oh, I think I got the wrong one. Hold on. Bless me, Lord. Where am I looking for?
Bless the Lord.
2 Peter. 2 Peter, I'm in the wrong book.
2 Peter.
The first chapter. Oh, that's the wrong book. Okay, turn over one. There you go. Father, I thank you. He says, and beside this, giving all diligence. Now, remember he said don't add to his word. But look what he say you can add. He say, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, temperance. To temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Oh, my God, he said charity. And he ain't talking about the girl named Charity, neither. He's talking about L-O-V-E, that serious stuff you got to have. Now, go to 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 9. 1 Timothy 6, 1 through 9. He says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. That the name of God in his doctrine, oh, wait a minute, God got a doctrine, y'all. That's what it says. And God in his doctrine be not baffled. Well, just in case you don't know what the doctrine of God is, it's the doctrine of Jesus Christ. The doctrine of Jesus Christ, it's the apostolic doctrine, the apostles' doctrine. They are all the same, but let's go backwards. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and, there go that word again, to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt mind, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. He say, from such withdraw yourself. It's nothing wrong with having some things. I'm not preaching against the things, but when the things got you, yeah, I'm preaching against it. He's saying people thinking gain is godliness. There are trillionaires. There are billionaires that have way more than a gang of us things put together. And God is saying, don't be dumb. Gain is not godliness. So everybody professing the name of Jesus Christ, so they got some stuff. Because they got some stuff don't mean they got God. Don't get it twisted. Because they got belongings. This is where a lot of people get sidetracked. Oh, they got a whole lot of stuff. So God must be blessing them. Well, look what the words say. I reign on the just as well as the unjust. But look what the next verse say. For we brought nothing into this world, watch it, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Again, I'm talking about Matthew 6, in verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, these things shall be added unto you. But now let's look what happened to the ones that had things way back in the beginning. Go to the book of Acts. Go to the book of Acts, and I think I want to do the fourth chapter. Which chapter do I want to have it? No, let's go, fourth chapter, and look at verse 28 on out. And it says, and now, Lord, behold their threatening, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness that we may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child. Oh, there go that name, Jesus. Watch this. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost again. They got filled again. Nothing wrong. You get filled umpteen times. And they spake the word of God with what? Boldness. They wasn't scared. Wasn't no punks about said, when you become so popular, everybody love you, you better check yourself because something is wrecking yourself. Look what it says. And the multitude of them that believe were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. They understood everything that God gave me, it don't belong to me. In other words, it don't possess me. I have the ability to separate myself from my things. Look what they done. And then it says, but they had all things coming. No, baby, I ain't got a house. You got four. You got four houses, and guess what? I can't get neither one of them. That's not how they talk. We go to proof.
Right.
And with great power, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. You got 17 TVs locked up in your house. Not that we get a TV, but since you're watching a TV, how come somebody else in the church that ain't got one? Why they can't have one? Because the things got you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added. He said added. He didn't say these things shall control you. He said they shall be added. Now, let's go. He said, neither was there any that lacked among them, for as many, oh, here go the problem. You tell somebody about this in the church, they'll call you Jim Jones. They will call you David Koresh. They will call you a cult, a C-U-L-T, not the C-O-L-T, the gun, a cult, A-C-C-U-L-T. And occult. Now, either one of those fit perfect. If you practice this right here. So let's see what the first church did. It says, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses, they sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold where? And laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Not what he wanted, but as that man had a need. Now, here goes the problem with that 35th verse. It says they laid them down at the apostles' feet. Well, people died. We got a problem right there. We have an issue with knowing who is a true apostle in this house. You got people that's jumping on the internet. They're creating licenses for themselves, by themselves. They haven't went and sat under nobody's teaching. They did not stay and get saturated with a word. So they went out and they bought them a word, and they hung the plaque in the office, and they called themselves the chief apostle. Now, I know Paul made reference to Peter of being a chief apostle because God had called Peter first. Now, you that's out there that might happen across this line and happen to listen, you're not a chief apostle. That title is gone. The other only chief apostle that ever was, will be, is Jesus. He is the chief apostle. So all you that claim these titles of master, prophet, and all that, man, wake up, smell the coffee. You ain't that. It ain't but been one. Jesus is the master prophet, and he is the chief apostle, both in one day. For all of you that's going to these schools and they telling you you are an apostle, wow. Because in the book of Revelation, I hate to break this off to you, just in case you haven't read it. It says, here it is, in the last day, you found a lot of them apostles to be liars. Yeah, you crossing some dangerous ground when you calling yourself and you're making yourself or you're allowing someone else to honor you with something that God did not ordain you. Yeah, you can sit in the office and do work and never go out. Now, see, if you study the life of an apostle, you become a rug, baby. You allow everybody to walk on top of you. You make yourself a no reputation. Go back and study the apostles. Yeah, they were scandalized. They was lied on. They were ridiculed. Yeah, they were made an open spectacle unto all. Paul said, I became all things to all men that I might gain some. He knew he wasn't going to win everybody. He was trying to win, but he knew he couldn't. So therefore, Paul became a rug. Now, but see, the problem with y'all going out buying all them Persian rugs. Why? Because you done moved out the hood, and you done went way up there on the hill. Now, God say, look unto the hill. He didn't tell you to go live on the hill. He said, look unto the hill from whence cometh your help. It was never the intention of God's people to separate themselves away from one another, because in numbers there are strength. And if you move away from the body and I got to wait in line to get a hookup with you on the phone, my soul is in need right then. They were supposed to be approachable.
You preach it.
Approachable. This is the office of a real apostle. Yeah,
don't get mad.
Just get dust next. Get some cleaners and wipe them tears, babe. God is coming, y'all. And he's tired. He's tired of us playing church. Why? We have lost the vision. Oh, yeah, I say this and I say this boldly. We have lost the vision of the true church of the house of God. How did we lose? Yes, Jesus said these words. He said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But it is they that testify of me. Now look what took place. Fast forward, we go all the way to the book of Matthew, the 17th chapter, verse number 1. Look what Jesus done to those that he called his friend. He took them after 6 days, Peter, James, and John, his brother. He brought them up into a high mountain apart and was changed before them. His face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses, who represented the law, and Elijah talking with him, who represented the prophet. Now, this was an impossible task, for if you knew anything about history, Moses' body was never found. Elijah
never
was
found.
Taken up in a whirlwind. Jesus stepped out of eternity and stuck in to right now, and brought them brothers back through the annals of time to have a conversation with him on a mountain where 3 witnesses identified them. Now, look what takes place. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles. For those of you that don't know what a tabernacle is, it is a sanctuary. It is a house of God. It is a building erected as an edifice for God's people to go in and worship him. Peter got the revelation. He saw 3 great men standing before him. And because he saw this, his flesh began to speak. Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let us make 3 churches. Huh? Yeah. Let's call one by your name. Let's call one by Moses' name. And let's call one by life. But look at the power of God. Look at the word of God. It say, while Peter yet spake, a bright cloud overshadowed him. The mercy of God stepped in, because this boy should have died. Why? Because of the statement that he was making. But again, Peter spoke out of his ignorance. He was ignorant to what was going on, but yet he knew this was an amazing feat. So God didn't count it to his heart. He charged it to his head. He didn't know no better. So he overshadowed him with mercy. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my son, whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, They fell on their face and were so afraid. Then Jesus came. He stepped out of glory and stepped back into time. Yeah, he did. And touched them and said, arise, be not afraid. Now watch what happened in this verse here. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them. He commanded them, what? Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. It wasn't until Jesus rose from the dead in the ending of the book where he came to them and told them, all power is in my hand. He said, now go out and tell them who is the Father. Now go out and tell them who is the Son. Now go out and tell them who is the Holy Ghost. Jesus, I am the Father. Jesus, I am the Son. Jesus, I am the Holy Ghost. Therefore, Peter said, repent. Be baptized, every one of you. Not in a title. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? It's for the remission, the removal of sins. But look what he was talking about. Building a church. Yeah, we go out and we establish churches. And we say, yeah, this is new beginning, new destiny, new crossroads, new apostolic, new hope. We call it all that, Mount Uriah, Mount Calvary. We call it all that, St. Peter, St. Timothy. We call it all that, Whittington Temple, James Tabernacle. We call it all that. But that ain't the name. And this is what's wrong with today's church. We lost the vision on the name. Not only was God crazy about his building in the Old Testament, he's crazy about his building in the New. And the proof is he never would have told Jesus in the book of John, well, let's see what Jesus say. In the book of St. John, and I'm just about to, in the book of St. John, What do I want? 10. He says 10. And is that 10? Yeah, 10 and 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Why? The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that he may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. Now, go to the 14 chapter. Go to 14. And Jesus has a conversation, verse 1, give me about 5 more minutes, look what it says, 14 and 1, let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, that ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither you goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. He said, if you had known me, ye should have known my Father also. Why? And henceforth you know him, and you have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will please us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Yeah, he's saying, look, if you confuse, just believe me just for the work's sake. Forget everything else. So what? You don't agree with the baptism in Jesus' name. Just accept it for the work's sake so it could do what it was going to do. First Peter, look at this, 1 Peter 3:21. A lot of people discount this word, and I don't understand why, because it says exactly what it's meant. It says, 1 Peter 3:21, it says, the like figure, whereto even baptism, it do also save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. No, the baptism is not designed to stop nobody from sinning. So those of you that says you went down a dry devil and you came up a wet devil, you quit lying, you lying spirit. It's no such thing as a wet devil and you're coming up, you went down a dry devil and you come up a wet devil. The baptism wasn't designed to stop nobody from sinning. It's an answer of a good conscience toward God. That means when you go out there and you continue to do your sin, you become more conscious now of the sin you're doing. Why? Because God didn't touch your head. He didn't regulate parts of your mind until you come into the knowledge of the truth and take hold of the word where it now keeps you from sinning.
My.
Oh, yeah, we haven't searched here today. I'm going to close out.
Yes, we are.
with this last scripture. People don't understand the importance of baptism. The baptism is so sacred and important that Jesus told John that he needed to be baptized. Now, notice what happened. Jesus ain't never sinned. So if the baptism was designed for sin, then why did Jesus get dipped? Because Jesus told John, we have to fulfill all righteousness in Scripture. Baptism is essential to your salvation. Now, in the book of 1 Corinthians, and I studied this for years, and people had excuses, but when God blessed me to run across this, I said, the war is over. People got to start accepting the word for what the word say, not what your pastor say, not what your mama say, not what your great-great-great-great-granny say, but what God say. Is we going to believe God or we going to believe man? If we going to believe God, then God say in the book of Romans, yea, let God be true, every man a liar. That means you're a liar, baby. You just got to accept the fact your pastor, he don't know everything when it comes to the word. You got to read the word and accept the word for what it say. Add thou not to the word, lest he reprove thee, and you be found to be a liar. And we know what happened to the liars in the book of Revelation. He say, all liars shall have their part in the lake. This is why I teach so hard when it comes to the word of God. He said, moreover, brethren, 1 Corinthians 10:1, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Now, pay attention to this right here. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. This is not talking about John's baptism. This is not talking about the baptism of Peter or Paul. This baptism took place way before any of them brothers came on the scene. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, this is the largest baptism that have ever been done on earth as of this date. 1 million folk. Animal went down in God's name. Whatever God's name was back then, YHVH, JHVH, it covered them. They were all baptized unto Moses. Look at the third and fourth verse, just for God to put a little on it. You know what y'all say, the cherry on top of the cake or on top of the pie, whatever it is, the cream on the crop or whatever. Ah, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, he says, they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. Well, baby, I ask you today, who is Christ? Who is Christ? Who is this Christ? Well, Isaiah said, 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and you're going to call his name Wonderful, Counselor, the Everlasting, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Then in Matthew 1:21, she shall bring forth a son. You're going to call his name Jesus. Or as they say, Emmanuel, interpreted, God with us. John 1:3, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. In verse, the Word became flesh, and it dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word. The Word is Jesus. The Word is God. God is his Word. All three, baby, they are one. Closing out, in the book of 1 John, 1 John, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 7, and I'm done. No, verse 8. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. Now, we just read Christ was way back there with Moses. They drank of the spiritual rock that followed them. That rock is Christ. Now, before you knew that today, you would have said that was God. But he's letting you know who he is. He is he who he is. I am that I am. I am my Father. Jesus said, we not three. He said, I am my Father. We one. Here go the proof. Watch this. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is a Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. They don't agree as one. These three are one. 8th verse says, and there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, in the water, in the blood. Now, this is the agreement. These three agree. The first three are one. The second agree. So those of you that is struggling in this hour and you're confused as to who the Lord is, he said, whosoever shall call upon my name, you're going to be saved. It says, wherefore God has highly exalted him, given him a name that is above every name, not only in this world, but is great in the world that is to come. Paul says, for this cause, I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, of whom the full whole family in heaven and in earth is named. Your name is not sister or brother. You got a new name. Yeah, when the enemy comes, he don't see you. If the word is in you, Jesus said, abide in me and my word abide in you. If my word abide in you, then I abide in you. But if it ain't in there, then guess what? The Spirit ain't there. And then the enemy coming, he's just slapping you all inside your head. But when you got the manifestation of the word of God inside of you, the devil is conflicted, because why? You're not speaking
as of a normal person, you're speaking the things of God, and it's throwing this whole game off like it did when Jesus was tempted. Jesus said, oh, no, hold on, partner. No man shall serve two masters. Yeah, either you're going to love one or you're going to love the other. You're going to hate one or you're going to cleave to the other.
Amen, amen, you preaching like
that.
Okay.
That man not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God doth man live. Yeah, we got to believe the word in this hour, y'all. There's too much false doctrine going on. God has always been crazy about his name in the old. When Moses asked him, who shall I say? He said, tell him, I am. Why did he say, I am?
We bless the Lord for that word.
Whatever you want to be, whatever you allow me to be, that's what I am. If you need a healer, I'm a healer. If you need a deliverer, I'm a deliverer. If you need forgiveness of sin, I will forgive you. If you need a father, I'm a father to the fatherless. If you need a mother, I'm a mother to a motherless. If you need a friend, I'm a friend that stick closer than a brother. These things God said, I am, that you might understand who he is. He's whomever you allow him to be. And in this hour, he said, yea, let me be true. And you better let every man be a liar. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. God bless you.
Amen, amen, amen. There's nothing else we can say. You have brought the word on today. I thank God for this was last minute, but the Lord wanted to speak today, and certainly he has used Brother Mike, Minister Mike, Prophet Mike. You know, he talked about these titles, so don't get bent out of shape if somebody call you sister or brother, because it's an honor to have sister and brother in front of your name. I don't care about all of the elevation and what man have bestowed upon you. We all are children of the King. So, Mike, you have really preached under anointed, and I know you wasn't ready to stop. And when God gives you something like that, you know, it's coming from your belly. It's not coming from no seminary. It's not coming from something you read off the internet. The word is in your belly. You say, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So we thank God for that word on today. Thank God for Evangelist Bucilla coming before Brother Mike. I tell you, that word was on fire. You know, she opened it up and started talking about the blessing, and he just took us a little deeper in. And I just thank God, because God put him in my spirit to call him to expound on that word today. And that's our destiny focus for this week, even coming into the new year. We're hoping that all of you will be in the new year with us as the Lord allow us to close out 2012. This is the last day, and we're going on into the new year asking a question. Is Jesus enough? And Evangelist Bucilla have already let us know that if you go into Deuteronomy and you read the blessings that the Lord said would be ours, and then Brother Mike just put the icing on the cake. So they answered that question today, and they erased all of the things we have in our mind. Is Jesus enough? That's what we're asking today. If Jesus is enough, then we'll do like the scriptures say in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Brother Mike told us, don't worry about it. I like what he said. He said, God told us to look unto the hills from whence cometh our help. He didn't tell us to go purchase and build our home up on the hill, and then we look down at the folks that's not up on the hill. So I thank God for that word on today. He went a little bit further than we expected him to go, but God has spoken in this hour. And I tell you, if you weren't on this line to hear this word today, go back into the archives. Go back, go to blogtalkradio.com and search for New Destiny Ministries, and go back into the archives and pull up December 31st, 2012. He didn't leave a stone unturned. So I tell you, I just thank the Lord for what he's doing, and I give all the glory to God, because God is the one that laid people on my heart. I just don't go down the list and randomly select anybody. I ask the Lord, Lord, who do you call? And he put Brother Mike in my spirit this morning to call him, and I'm sorry it was last minute, but when the Spirit speaks, you just move. So God bless you all. I'm going back to Evangelist Bucilla, and then I see Evangelist Joshua on the line. I saw First Lady Carol. Well, Bucilla just dropped off. I saw First Lady Carol on the line. I see Dawn, and I also had a caller from the 916 area code, but they dropped off too. Praise the Lord, Evangelist Joshua. God bless you. Okay. Evangelist Joshua? Amen. Well,
hello?
I'll go to my sister.
Hello?
Yeah. Yes,
praise,
I'm here.
Okay, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. God bless you.
I'm so glad I got to get here and hear that word. As usual, I tell you, Brother Mike, you just put a period on the end of, on the year 2012.
Yes,
nothing
Lord.
To be added to it. That's a good period. And I'm telling you, that was some good word. God bless you. I'm not going to hold up because you're short on time. God bless you, Evangelist Bernard, and God bless all the listeners.
Amen, amen. I see Evangelist Lucilla back on. Evangelist Lucilla, final comments.
God,
lining
God.
It
is Jesus enough? Ephesians 3:20. Right now, not tomorrow, yesterday, or past a couple of years ago, but right now, unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly. Now, that didn't say, now unto him who is able to do abundantly. It has the word in front of abundantly,
exceed
abundantly, above all that we could even ask, think, or even imagine, according to the power that was within him. Now, you know that's just saying it right there. He has said more than enough. Oh, my God. I just did love this today. I enjoyed myself, and Brother Mike, God bless him. I really did enjoy me. He really laid it out there. Did. Woo-wee. I mean, he was way up on the mountaintop. Tarzan didn't have nothing on that. You know, Tarzan didn't have nothing on that. You know, Tarzan, that television show of Tarzan running through the jungle and swinging from rope to rope and making that hollering noise and beating his chest. Oh, no, honey, that was the word. He was scared. Brother Mike, God bless you. God bless you, man of God.
Amen.
Yes,
amen.
Lord, amen. So back to you, Evangelist.
Okay. I thank God for all of you all tuning in on today. I thank God for guest 3966, and also our guest in the chat room in his presence says, amen, amen. God bless you, Prophet Michael. The word was a blessing. And God bless you, Evangelist Bernard, and to all your guests on the line and chat room, have a blessed new year. So we just thank God for that word. We're going to go back to Brother Mike. Well, let me see if Dawn is able to say anything, and then we're going to go back to Brother Mike, and we're going to have him to close out for us. Dawn?
Yes, that was a word.
Amen. That's my sister Dawn, Brother Mike.
Bless everybody who's on the line, and starting the New Year's off right. Happy New Year's to everybody, and I love you all. Thank you for the word today. Thank you.
Amen, amen. We thank God for that word, and we certainly are thankful for all of our listeners and all of our audience that tune in and go into the archives and come into the chat room. We bless the Lord for you all. We thank you for participating and supporting us all throughout this year of 2012. And we want to agenda some more support for this new year, because we want God to do some greater things in our lives. We're looking to go higher and higher in 2013. And that's why we started the year off asking the question, is Jesus enough? If Jesus is enough, then we need to get into this word and we need to adhere to what he's saying. We don't have to wait for somebody to come to town to tell us what does say the Lord. The Bible is our manual from Genesis to Revelation. His word is forever settled in heaven. And he said his word would not go out and return unto him void, but that it would accomplish that which he sent him to do. My brother, my minister, Mike, Prophet Mike, have covered the baptism in Jesus' name. He's covered the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He covered, can you serve two masters? He has covered it all on today. So I can truly say God has spoken and he is pleased. So we like to say Happy New Year to each and every one of you. I know tomorrow is New Year's, but I'll be on the line. I don't know if any of you will be on, but I'll be on the line tomorrow giving God some praises. If he allow us to cross over into the new year, I'm going to be on this line praising and magnifying the name of the Lord. Amen. So we thank God for our speakers on today, Evangelist Lucilla Williams and Prophet Michael Lewis. We thank him for what he has spoken into our spirit. And Brother Mike, I just want you to know that on behalf of my family, we love you and appreciate you for the work and the advocating that you do for my sister Danielle. And I want to thank and all of our listeners to keep my sister Danielle met in your prayer. And we're praying for her release in this upcoming year, 2013. So we're looking for God to open up the prison doors and set her free. So we thank God for you, and we thank God for you ministering to our hearts on today. We're going to ask you to close us on out with the final remarks and a word of prayer. Amen.
Nice.
Amen.
I'm like the devil trying to keep on fooling with him. I promise.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for all that our ears have heard, oh God. We thank you that it has fallen upon good ground, springing up to everlasting life. Now we ask you, Father, that we commit this word into our hearts as you have committed it into our trust. We ask you to lead and guide us in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. But most of all, on this day, shield and protect us from hurt, harm, and danger. But see us back all together again at thine appointed time. We will be careful to give you glory, honor, and all that we do, we give you the praise. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Happy New Year to all of you all. Tune in for the rest of the week at 1 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 o'clock p.m. Central Time, and 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. We're looking forward to having a great and prosperous new year. I'm going to close out with, you're all I need. We ask the question, is Jesus enough? Hezekiah Walker is going to sing, you're all I need. God bless you all. Love you with the love of Christ. Have a Jesus day.
Everybody say you're all I need. Everybody.
God bless you all. Happy New Year to all of you. Have a prosperous and great, blessed New Year. See you on tomorrow. God bless you.